Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Do you know that if, according to Autoblog, if you're near naked and you run into a swamp at night, it's actually makes you easier to spot. So a 23-year-old man drove his Nissan across the center line, collided with a semi, but instead of exchanging information and waiting for police, he stripped to his underwear and took off into the swamp. Woo! Police say the crash happened about 8:30 p.m. near Mulberry in Polk County, Florida. And after the collision, the truck driver was sore, was able to give a description of the man. He did strip to his underwear, and then he ran into the water. Dogs found the driver a mile deep in the swamp, wearing only his boxers. Now, I mean, it's in a swamp with water, and there's gators there. Officials speculated that the man likely stripped to make it harder to find him, but they said that wearing only your britches actually makes it easier to spot you. He did not get eaten by a gator, so that is true. No, he did take off because he was driving on a suspended license and without insurance. So now he also has left the scene of a crash with injuries. And if he would have just stayed there, you know, clothed and dealt with it, then, you know, it wouldn't have been a thing. But, you know, it's Florida Man, so I mean, I just still can't, you know. Oh, man, let's see. This... I don't even know. This is nuts. So this is in Broward County. A Florida man, was arrested and charged with domestic battery by strangulation after he choked a woman who asked him to turn down the volume on a religious video he was watching. According to the arrest report, the victim told deputies that the altercation began when she asked the man, Leroy Jackson, 53. Oh, man, you never go Leroy Jenkins, man, or Jackson. When she asked him to turn down the volume of his video, it was a verbal request, and apparently it escalated to a physical altercation. He got mad at her because she asked it. He pushed her. She pushed him away, and he responded by placing both hands on her neck and squeezing to the point of restricting her airflow. She said she could barely speak. She called 911. And she allowed pictures to be taken of her injuries. She wouldn't provide a sworn tape statement. They did take the guy in, transported him to Broward jail, where he was bonded out $1,500. I mean, nothing says, you know, religious like being mad that someone interrupted your viewing and you try to choke them out. Oh, my gosh. So in the villages.
The villages.
The villages. The like villages. A man in red boxer briefs was found sleeping in the trunk of a car, twitching. 39-year-old Todd Curry curled up in the fetal position in an open trunk of his car this past Saturday while it was parked in a parking lot of a closed business. And according to the Lady Lake Police Department, he was wearing only red boxer briefs. He has a long history of arrest. They told him to put his pants on. He had trouble slipping his legs into his pants. He admitted that he was using meth. He was twitching. They found foil and 3 grams of meth, 0.3 grams of meth in the trunk. So he was arrested on third degree felony charge of possession of meth and booked in Lake County Jail on $2,000 bond. You never want to be twitching in a... No, in the car, in the trunk here. Golly, come on. And it's humid there. All right, I don't know what that matters, but it does. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. But you know what we haven't discussed, Kane, is the one headline that I have on my rundown about the UFO hearing.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
No, it's true. There are a bipartisan group of lawmakers that are looking to solve the decades-old UFO mystery. Today, Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Capabilities are holding the second, only the second hearing that we've ever had on this in over 50 years. They have a couple of things. They have some, there's a webpage on it in the Senate, United States Senate Service Committee, United States Senate Committee on Armed Services. There's not really anything. They don't have anything on the page, but they say that the Department of Defense, after all of this stuff with the Navy fighter jets and seeing all these unidentified, you know, phenomena or unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP, there was this publication in 2017 of all of this crazy video that was recorded by Navy fighter jets and briefings by naval aviators who were witnessing all of these weird objects that maneuvered in just extraordinary fashion. And so they said, yeah, we need to have some hearings on this. We've got to talk about this. So the DOD established this All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or AARO. And they got a pretty big hit. They got a pretty big hand of authority to analyze UFOs. And this is how it's written via The Hill, that exceed the known state of the art in science or technology. And so to cut through some of the bureaucracy, lawmakers demanded that AARO's director report to top Pentagon and intel community leadership. So that's going to be there's only one witness in today's hearing, and it's the UAP office director. And they're going to probably, I mean, I'm sure they're going to ask about funding and, you know, the scientific mission and how they're executing said mission, et cetera. I'm sure that there's going to be some discussion on the, you know, the Chinese balloons. But this was weird in that it's based on that 2017 report. They said that of the, and this is from BBC, of the 500 plus UAP reports by service members in recent years, they were asking as to how many were considered to have remarkable flight characteristics and whether the AARO had confidence that these UAPs exhibited highly advanced tech. And they had this 2022 assessment that said 366 of the most recently reported UAP incidents, they said, judged more than half as exhibiting unremarkable characteristics. So that means, or at least intimates, that 150 of these reports involve objects that demonstrated pretty remarkable characteristics that you couldn't just say that was clutter or that's a spy balloon or something like that. Because the one thing that it shared is they had unbelievable maneuvering capability. And in some of the video footage, if you see, I mean, you have stuff that moves faster than what we, that just, I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I don't even know how to describe it. You've seen some of the video, right, Kane? I don't know how to describe some of the objects moving. I really don't. I mean, I've watched some of this stuff a million times. I don't know how you describe the movement of it.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, amazing. How else can you describe it?
Like what? Like how does it operate?
It defies physics as we know it.
Yeah. So they said that the UAP that they were looking at, and it's implying here that this is like 150 of the 150 reports, quote, appeared to remain stationary in winds aloft, move against the wind, maneuver abruptly, or move at considerable speed without discernible means of propulsion. Now, the stuff that's been released is so heavily redacted. I mean, we kind of joked about this when it came out. There were literal pages where it's just entire black boxes, page after page. So much is redacted. But in spite of that, you can still see that, you know, these naval pilots are, I mean, they're blown away by this stuff. There was a piece that The Hill wrote. This was in July of 22. And it said that in April of 2014, four naval aviators narrowly escaped disaster. They entered highly controlled airspace for a training exercise. They said their two FA-18F fighter jets nearly collided with a UFO. They said that they were frustrated. Dozens of their fellow aviators were frustrated because they said that people have to address it because it made it a near catastrophe inevitable. And they said that the flight characteristics are highly unusual, et cetera, et cetera. That's what and they were really frustrated by this. Man, why are we not talking more about this? This would be the time where government's like, okay, let's go ahead and release some of this UFO stuff while everybody's distracted. You know,
that's exactly what they'll use it for.
I mean, if the government were going to come out and be like, guys, yeah, there's some aliens out there, and we don't know if they hate us or not. I mean, this would be the time to do it, right? Like, spark a giant political slap fight. Everybody's looking one way, and then here it reminds me. What is this movie called? I watched this the other day off chance. Hang on, I'm going to Google this because it reminded me of this movie. It was. It was not Aliens versus, I can't remember what it was called. I'll find out. Anyway, it was about this movie where you had zombies and vampires and all of this stuff, and everyone was figuring out freaks of nature. It's called Freaks of Nature. And they're all trying to figure out all these different outcasts that are in all of these different, like, some are zombies, some are this. They're all trying to figure out how to live together. Nobody gets along. They're all, like, super hyper-focused on their own problems, and they're dealing with their own issues, and et cetera, et cetera. And then aliens come. An actual Armageddon alien invasion. And they are so busy fighting each other that they didn't even know that a literal, actual Orwellian, this giant alien invasion was happening. And it was actually it's a funny movie. It's a comedy.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, it's like some War of the Worlds stuff. I mean, legit like that, like giant War of the Worlds type aliens. And so it made me think of that. Like, man, if you were going to, you know, really drop something about that, that's when you do it. So then it makes me wonder if it gets crazy and you keep hearing more of these, like, stories kind of on the slide, it makes me wonder that, how bad is it?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, they're saying that Bank of England is that High Street goes contactless. Cash is going to become less usable as shoppers embrace the internet and reject actual cash. That's what the deputy governor of the Bank of England has warned. We've been hearing this from people before. I've seen some great explainers as to what that actually means to smaller businesses and also how much banks make off of those transactions. I mean, you end up losing, you know, a lot of more money than you realize. Americans now spend more on legal weed than chocolate. I will never understand this. I mean, doesn't, like, weed smells like a skunk. Chocolate is amazing.
It does.
Chocolate tastes delicious. Weed smells like a skunk's butt. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Why? I never thought I'd say that. No, if you think I'm crazy, look, 30 billion compared to 18 billion.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? 30 billion compared to 18 billion. A new study. And now it's like they said sales increased by, I mean, millions and millions of dollars more since Washington and Colorado were the only people that had the legalized. So there's a lot of other stuff that goes on with that, too. But interesting. Let's see. This New Zealand feral cat hunting competition for children prompts backlash. Animal rights organizations are upset. They said that pets could be killed during the event and animals could suffer prolonged deaths. It's a hunting competition to kill feral cats for a cash prize. That seems, they said there's a good chance someone's pet. Yeah, probably. That sounds
fun, though.
I mean, I don't even like cats. I'm allergic to them, actually, like seriously allergic to them, but I think they're weird and I've never actually held one. But I mean, I don't know. New York City is telling people, pick up your dog do. They said that because they're telling people it's a crime and you're going to be fined if you don't do it. I thought that was obvious, right? Stick with us. I have so many headlines about the dwindling of purchasing power. Let me pull this up. Oh my gosh. Like what? A ton of different headlines about that. And then the increase in crime. And everything else. And then on top of it, we're subsidizing now, beginning May 1st, high-risk home buyers because of a new federal rule on mortgage fees. So people that have riskier credit backgrounds are going to get discounted rates, and higher credit home buyers are going to foot the bill. So you work really hard. You do everything that you're supposed to do, and you're penalized for it. It's shocking. This is one of the people who was served as a federal housing administration commissioner during the Obama years. David Stevens told the New York Post, quote, "It's unprecedented, and my email is full from mortgage companies telling me how unbelievably they are, how shocked they are by this move." It also puts, this puts so much pressure on a particular cohort of buyers in a market that's already trending downward in a major way. They said the average 30-year mortgage rate is hovering at 6.27% as of last week. That's up about 5% from a year ago, more than twice as high as it was 2 years ago, and that's Freddie Mac data. Under the new rules, high credit buyers with scores ranging from 680 or above or to above 780, you're all going to see a spike in our mortgage costs. Applicants who place 15 to 20% down will get the biggest increase in fees.
That's so upside down.
I mean, and this is all to subsidize high-risk borrowers. That's right. Under this pricing structure, a home buyer with 740 FICO credit score, 15 to 20% down payment, you get a percentage surcharge compared to the, it's a 0.750 compared to the old fee of 0.250. And when absorbed into a long-term mortgage rate, that's going to cost you. Buyers with credit scores of 679 or lower will have their fees slashed. So if you have a 620 FICO score and down payment of 5% or less, you get an almost 2% discount fee.
2%.
And when absorbed into the long-term rate, that's a half a point of discount. So the fee structure is to make the people who did everything right and worked hard and have a good credit score, you're going to be punished in favor of the people who, because it's not about income, it's about how good your credit is.
You know what this reminds me of is back in the early aughts, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the regulators all made it very easy for people without a job. All they had to have was a credit score. So all you needed was a decent credit score. You didn't have to prove you had a job. You didn't have to prove you had any assets or any money in the bank. You didn't have to prove you had any income. And they would give you the loan. Now, what happened in 2008? We already know that the market completely crashed, and the real estate market included. Now, here we are, putting a foundation of people that have risky credit scores at the base, at the bottom of our mortgage system. It's going to collapse.
It will absolutely collapse. We've seen this before. We've done this before. We've absolutely done it before. I mean, this is just, it is something else. That's what's happening. I mean, it's a welfare state. We're going to talk about how national conservatives are wanting to do that. Here in the further, they're wanting to expand this further by adopting some of these policies from Hungary to here, because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, this, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that here coming up. So here's the other story I was telling you about. United Nations. Oh boy. Washington Free Beacon. So the UN, they are trying to now mainstream pedophilia. They stated in a report that despite worldwide prohibitions on relations with underage individuals, they said, well, they can be consensual. They said that, quote, and this is a March report, quote, sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent may be consensual, in fact, if not law. Now, just so you understand, they're not saying that, oh, if you're an 18-year-old and someone's a 17-year-old. They're not talking about that. Oh, no. They're talking about what you think they're talking about. They said that they should, I mean, that's what they're pushing. They were using language similar to the pedophilia group, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, or isn't that what it is? Yeah, NAMBLA. echoing their language. They're trying to mainstream this. You knew this was coming. This was just a matter of time before this happened. Because if you can bend the rules everywhere else, you're going to be able to bend the rules when it comes to age of consent. Which, don't you think that kind of underscores the fact that it's never really been about consent for the left? Think about all the stuff that they've been talking about. Whether it is a lack of informed consent concerning, you know, sex changes, etc. I mean, that's what all of this is. It's all about this. The UN report that the Washington Free Beacon, they have linked. I mean, it is messed up. When you read it, because at first, you know, I wanted to think that, oh man, this is, you know, surely they're not talking about, like I said, just like a 18-year-old and a 17-year-old. Something, you know what I mean? Something that's like, there's nuance like that. No. No, the more that you read it, the more that they are dancing around like adults and actual children. I mean, it is wild. And they also get into gender identity, gender expression, orientation, all of this other stuff in this big, long report. And they talk about minor attracted persons. That's pedophile. What? That's a pedophile. Stop using goofy language to hide what you're really talking about. Why are we involved in the United Nations again? It's like, isn't it like theater to pretend that we have, I mean, we have diplomatic relations with all these other countries. Do we honestly, the United Nations is a theatrical governing body that gets prime real estate in Manhattan, and it wouldn't exist without our subsidies. This is going to be the thing that's next. I'm telling you what, it's already started. It's already started.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.